Big.
Oh, it wasn't because I was so much fun.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the regular meeting of the Curry Beach Town Council. It is June 17th, 6 p.m. If we may please have the invocation and pledge of allegiance from Reverend Tom Williams.
All we do here today, all we accomplish here tonight, is for
Jesus, ask these things in your name. Amen. Let's stand and do the pledge of allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Reverend Williams. The approval of the consent agenda items. Are there any changes to the consent agenda items?
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda presented.
Second.
Motion and second. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Consent agenda passes. Adoption of the regular agenda.
Make a motion we remove number one under old business as the National Weather Service has not updated their categories. Until they update them, we have an approved plan from the last meeting, so we're fine.
Okay, removing number one. Was that it?
That's all I have, sir.
Any other changes to the regular agenda? You have a motion, please?
Make a motion we approve as amended.
Second.
Motion and approval. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, adoption of the agenda. Regular agenda is accepted with the elimination of number one. Okay, discussion and consideration of persons to address council. And first on our list here is Ms. Pam Jones.
Somebody else is on there first.
Well, they decided to talk at a different time. So if you would please come to the podium, give us your name and your address, please. Thank you, Pam. Any other comments on that subject? Mr. Bob Slugs.
Craig, my intent, thank you. My intent is to speak regarding the sandman lot, so should I hold off?
You can wait till then, that's fine.
Yeah, we can wait till then.
Okay, take the back.
Okay. Discussion and consideration of community business. Community Center Committee. Well, I will say one thing. The August barbecue event is coming up. Don't miss it. It's awesome. Marketing Committee. Shoreline Access and Beach Committee. Okay. It was a nice day, obviously, outside. Planning and Zoning Commission.
I'm here to answer questions when you get to the point to discuss the setup of the Planning and Zoning Commission as the Historic Preservation Subcommission.
Okay. Just a minute. So we have a recommendation from Planning and Zoning to designate the P&Z Commission as the Curie Beach Historic Preservation Commission, the HPC, in order to start examining the possibility of pursuing local historic district designation for portions of the B1 district. Now, this is a temporary request so that you can start setting up the process and so forth.
The idea is that the Planning and Zoning Commission will do the study and be the initial contact with the various state organizations.
Any questions for Planning and Zoning? Do you have anything to add, Joe? No. Mr. Commissioner Whitley, since you're part of that, you're liaison of them?
This, again, this is just for them to get their legs underneath them. They don't really know what they're going to be regulating, how it's going to play out. While they bring together all the information, apply to the state, until we have our direction from council and whatever is permitted, then at that point, it would a committee would be appointed, 3 to 5 people, 4-year terms, various citizens from town, backgrounds, and they would handle any challenges or requests from that point forward. So they'd probably be in place for maybe 6 months to a year at the most, I would imagine.
Okay. Any other questions?
So this isn't council saying we approve or disapprove. This is just letting them get information, correct?
Correct.
Okay. I just want to make sure I understood.
So,
well, no, it's appointing them as the temporary historic preservation committee, the HPC, as they go through this process until the process is completed. Whichever way it goes,
there will be. Well, I understand that, but does that mean the state would designate something without it coming to council first?
No.
Okay,
no,
that was what I was asking. Yeah. Okay.
So, to clarify that point, this is temporary to do the study. There will be no positions set up until after whatever they come up with, the process comes through council and is approved.
That's what I want to make sure.
This is a state requirement to start the study, if I'm correct.
Yes, and this was a suggestion from Mr. Morrow, I believe it was Mr. Powers, who's at Eastern Office.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Saw the email.
That a lot of small communities like ours use the Planning and Zoning Board for their initial committee, and then after the process was completed, then a committee could be prepared, or it could stay under the auspices of the Planning and Zoning.
Okay.
But I think from last time that when Mr. Galvin talked about this issue, he wanted us as the council to officially designate the current members of P&Z to be the new Curie Beach Historic Preservation Commission. And under that designation, they would start looking into this issue.
Yes, but it is a temporary thing.
But do we need a motion, or we just all wave our hands?
I believe we need a motion to go ahead and make this. Nancy, can you help me here? Do I need a motion? Or attorney?
Yes, Nancy said yes.
We
yes.
do.
I make a motion to recommend P&Z Commission, or, sorry, to designate P&Z Commission as the Curie Beach Historic Preservation Commission so they can start examining the possibility of pursuing the local historic district designation.
I'll second.
Any other questions? Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Discussion and consideration of department head business. Administration. Ms. Avery.
Thank you, Ms. Mayor. Commissioners, in your agenda packet, in the department head business, you have a memo from me. This is regarding renewal of two of our leases that are on Stony Point property, Jellyfish Park and the Water Tower Assembly. When we were informed that Stony Point can combine those two leases and say it's about $3,750 a year over 5 years, lease term, and that they prefer us to pay that in kind, some kind of work done on Moxie property or Stony Point property rather than cash. We seemed to call last week and let you know from Stony Point that because of their different uses, Jellyfish Park is a public recreation use as opposed to the water tower being an enterprise use, that we cannot do in kind as long as those leases are combined. So you have two options before you. One is continuing with the combined lease payment. It would be $13,400 in cash annually. Over 5 years, that would be $67,000. Or two, directly go back to Sunny Point.
Did they say what the in-kinds could be, Nancy? How much of it could be labor from Public Works versus not, or anything like that?
They are really looking for fencing in certain areas.
We had the meeting with them, and they're wanting a fence in the buffer zone like Carolina Beach has.
Mm-hmm.
So we discussed that. Where we pay for the fence, and then we still pay, but they wipe out our leases. Maybe starting south of K and heading that in that direction, or around the water towers, because they want those secured.
Mm-hmm.
So those are what we would be looking at in place of making a check out with them.
Well, we have a few options in front of us first. The options depend if we want a combined lease for in-kind or if you want to pay.
We can't do any kind if it's combined.
We can't do an in-kind with the combined lease. So we can pay $5,000 more over 5 years, but use all the money to the improvement of Curie Beach and relationships with them, or we could not use. Or we could have the uncombined leases, save the $5,000, and not get the benefit of $67,000 of payments towards the lease.
That would be combined.
Right? Is that, in a sense, correct?
No, I don't think it is.
Combined
is a small account. So the issue is if we combine the lease, we can't do in-kind, which if in-kind is going to be paying for fences, it's all money. And so we should take the cheaper option because it's all money. If they would let us use Public Works labor, I would be in favor of doing it a different way. But because they're not, my recommendation to, at least my vote is that we combine the leases for the least amount of money from the town, even though that's not going to put the fences there. Because I don't know the fences, I'm fine with the fences if it helped us out, but our citizens don't care about the fences and a lot of them are not going to like them in their backyards. So then it becomes the money to me. The least money option, right? Give people the least money.
They're going to want that fence there, not particular value.
No matter what.
Right. Well.
And this.
Then they'll build it.
Yeah.
And we save $5,000.
And if they build it, then they can do what they want. If we look like we're willing to play ball with them, then that may be more favorable over time. And build, as Craig mentioned, build that relationship. Especially with some of the other things we have that we potentially want to do, in where we're working on this 10-year plan with Matsu for drainage in the three hotspot areas in town.
No, I'm with you. They should have talked to their person in the party and made it so it didn't matter. Because we're doing lots of good things with Matsu, and I 100% agree with council that we should be building the relationship. And we've done a lot of good stuff with them, but once it becomes cash, then it's cash.
I understand.
And so that's, and I'll make a motion whenever you're ready. If you all want a discussion, I'm fine. That's where I'm at.
I want to ask one more question.
Am I misunderstanding it, Earl?
Well, I was just saying, after looking at that, the difference is actually $18,000.
Right, over the 5 years. Mm-hmm. Right.
I know. I was using a different. But let me ask you this. When we pay this money, I know the in-kind payment they would like up front. If we go with the lease, do we pay each year? Do we pay the whole thing up front?
No, we pay each year.
Oh,
that's even years. Then that's even better. Then I'm at David's camp, I guess. Any other discussions?
Well, no, and I think we need to, until we know exactly what we're going to do with the drainage and other things that we've talked about, we can pull it into next year when we have the lagoon and some of the other properties are going. Don't that lease? That
lease
comes up next year.
Next year.
We can apply that.
And I think the feedback to them is we want to work with you guys, change the rules, and we would have been glad. I mean, we're not going to spend extra money because you guys wrote a purchasing rule dumb. And that's really what they did. And I'm sure it's not Matsu's fault. It's from higher up. But the feedback to them is, look, the council wants to work with you, but we're not spending money when we could have done it the same way. You should change that rule, and then we'd be glad to do it in kind.
Yeah.
But we're going to take the least expensive solution.
I'd be happy to join you on a call, Nancy, with whoever the representative is, since I think the young lady moved on.
She hasn't yet,
no,
Sarah.
She's still on? Okay.
So I make a motion we take the combined lease, which is the least expensive option for the town.
Second.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, any opposed? All right. Does that cover us, Nancy?
Yes.
Thank you. Building Inspections Department, Mr. Batson.
Nothing, sir.
Okay. Fire Department, Mr. Kennedy, Chief Kennedy.
Nothing, sir.
Okay.
Ed, can we just talk about the fireworks? I know you and both chiefs there, so since it was brought up, what's y'all's thoughts for council? Because July 4th happens before our next meeting, so if you won't guide us with council cover, you need to tell us what you want.
As far as fire is concerned, we've had two injuries over the last 5 years, so there is a case for medical calls there. One person got shot in the eye with fireworks. Another was just hit by the fireworks, but, you know, we've had, every year we also have brush fires because of the fireworks, and every year we clean up after it. So it is sort of a nuisance as far as fire is concerned. I have to defer to the police as far as legal issues, but like I said, as far as the fire is concerned and medical is concerned, we have issues there every year.
And as far as us, we go out on the beach and everybody's doing it. It's not legal, but it's very difficult for us to control. We've been laughed out of court for lightning before, and we'd be glad to do it, but it might be a good idea for the Homeowners Association to send out a letter, especially Sea Watch. Last year, I wrote a resident of Sea Watch, so pretty heavy fine for leaving his trash on the beach. I know it is an issue. But that's typically we let them do it. I say we let them do it, but we make them stop at 10 o'clock.
Well, any thoughts on council? I mean, we can tell Allen Gazette whatever we want, but we want to back you guys up, right? I mean, a citizen, and this is not the only citizen that's brought this up, to at least me. Last year, after 4th of July, a number of them had issues because the wind was out of the east, and so fireworks were falling on houses last year. But I don't know exactly how to help you guys help the citizens, so that's why I'm asking your thoughts. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, if we tell the Island Gazette run on the front page that we're going to give everybody this tickets to shooting fireworks, I agree with you. We'll get a lot of heat for it, but we can do that. I just don't know if that's the right thing.
Yeah, maybe put it up in the newsletter. Fireworks enforced or no fireworks. That might help us out some. We got to usually control the bees pretty heavy. Once we're done with it, they do it easy and drive.
Right.
Like I said, we've been flat out
Well, that's the issue, right?
You know, we've had, like you said, a couple of brush fires, spin fires, and whatnot.
Chief, do we know what the penalty is for fireworks? I mean, I don't know it off the top of my head either. I don't think it's significant. I know some folks put about $2,000 worth of stuff in the air. And you're right, last year we did have a cleanup. It was a fine of several $1,000?
It was a couple $100, yeah.
Several $100?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I believe that was a civil penalty already. And he did let the Sea Watch. He just left everything there.
Chief, do you think if we were to announce that it was banned on the beach, all those people with fireworks would just do it in their front yard, and would that possibly not be more dangerous to the community than out on the beach?
Yeah, I think if you're going to do it, you need to do it on the beach.
Yeah, well,
right.
We can't condone breaking the law.
No, I know that, but
that's different from actually, how we enforce it. But I mean, as a council, at least when you're sitting up here, you can't condone it.
They do it everywhere.
Oh, I know.
Yeah,
we drug our dog every year, so I know for sure. They do it every weekend, some weekends. Okay, sorry to put you on the spot. I just want some thoughts, because we'll probably talk about it during commissioners.
Okay.
Police chief.
Chief Bowden?
Nothing, sir.
Nothing? Chief, did we have a pretty active week on parking tickets?
Sir?
Did we have an active week on parking tickets?
Yeah, we were, I'm not sure how many, but we're up to 95 total for the year. And we were 107 last year for the whole year. So we're going to surpass that for sure.
In your opinion, do you believe the bumpers and the enforcement are working? I mean, I know it works for the locals. Do you think it's working for the visitors?
I think so. I think we've got some room for improvement, and we've got a couple ideas to hopefully help that out. But I think it's actually working and moving people from other places where they're not supposed to park. So.
Okay. All right. Any other questions for the chief?
Thank you for that. Or can I comment quickly?
Sure.
Yeah, I want to thank you for letting him help out on Creighton's Way. But we as a homeowner association realize, too, we've got to help. The locals get it, but it's our renters. And so we actually have somebody for the our association putting together some rental guidance to make sure that no parking is in their, in their kitchen when they walk in, that sort of thing. And I think we can help with that, too. A question would be, is there a town sign anywhere when people drive in to know that? Or are they supposed to read the regulations like a renter?
No, there's no town sign.
There's really no way that they would know other than who the people are renting from.
Right. Okay.
But regardless, thank you for helping us out with Korean's Way the other day.
Yes, sir.
That's been a problem with ours.
Okay. Mr. Messimer. Mr. Messimer, anything for Public Works?
Yeah, there's a couple of things. I just want to bring the council's attention that the boardwalk down in Atlanta is probably due for some repair after this summer season. It's starting to get pretty bad shape, so we need to take into consideration of possibly hiring a contractor or something like that, replacing the whole walkway, because it is really getting pretty bad.
Okay.
And also the stormwater assessment. I talked to Brian Cox, the engineer, who would like to get a better scope of work of what you actually want done as far as the stormwater around town. And if we can get that, then I could possibly get some kind of prices from him for the July meeting, council meeting.
Okay.
Jimmy and I talked about that. I'll be sending you guys something next week to review for a scope of work.
Okay.
So we can get that done and get it to Brian Cox. So we talked about it Friday morning.
Any thought then on putting a priority on certain aspects of it, David?
That's exactly how we'll write the scope.
All right, good.
So we're going to start with the presentation from Denise Hubbard.
Okay.
And then areas, let Jimmy add in areas that he's concerned about. And we'll talk about Sandman as well as another one of the key areas for this first part of the survey.
Okay.
So we can get a scope built up.
Okay. Ms. Neely, recreation?
Just want to announce the full schedule of our summer events is in week two this week. So we had a successful first week in the summer.
Okay. The new website. Nikki, is there a big sale? Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, and there'll be 15% off this weekend.
Okay. So my understanding is if the citizens buy product from the website, that benefits the town.
Correct.
Okay. All right. That wasn't a commercial. It was just an explanation.
It was a commercial. Nicely done. Very nice.
Okay. Okay, discussion and consideration of old business. Starting on number two, town-owned property at Sandman.
Request
Commissioner Hagler,
percent?
Yes, sir.
Thanks, sir. Is it locked itself up there? So I want to thank the council and you. Sorry, Mr. Love. I'll make sure my computer doesn't take anyone on. So thanks to council and two previous councils for this fun exercise that I've got to do since 2015. So we're going to talk about Sandman property.
Really, I'm going to go through the history of the property and highlight a couple points. I'm going to talk about the positions that both homeowners associations have taken. Just touch on some citizen communication verbally, and then the options for the town, and really conclusion. So for everyone that doesn't know, the town owns a large portion of land on Sandman Court. It's in red, so sorry for my poor drawing skills. But this is the property owned by the town. This is Sandman Court, North 4th Avenue. This is the Beachwalk community, and this is Curie Dunes. And then right here is a portion of land that is owned by the Beachwalk community. It is currently landlocked with a 10-foot easement between one of these two sets of houses. I'm not sure which one. Similar view, same property right here. You can see this is showing our zoning map off of our website. So the town-owned property is in RA1A. That's the zoning for this district, which is single-family homes that can be rented. The Beachwalk community is in RA2, which is duplexes or single-family homes that are not allowed to be rented. And please raise your hand if I'm going too fast or I say something that doesn't make sense to anyone. So kind of history of the issue, I only highlighted a couple of points, but we have a spreadsheet that is maintained by the town clerk of all the details for this. This been went through since in the last 5 years. And all the communication between the homeowners associations and the town representatives, which was me with initially Dean Lambeth, the mayor that started this, and then Emily Swearingen and now Craig has been in the meetings. The first part is there was a stormwater permit that established a pond, a detention pond or retention pond. Detention is how it's written by the North Carolina Department of Water Quality. This serves stormwater for the Curie Dunes Phase 1 and Phase 2. In 97, 96, when Beachwalk was being developed, that property, that pond was closed out and then turned over to the town. So that pond got filled in and turned over to the town as part of the agreement to allow the Beachwalk property to be filled. And the key part about this, at least from this, for this presentation, not for everyone, so you can read whatever you want, is that this stormwater permit was closed with the pond removal, and as it was closed, written in it, they had added additional square footage for that property for impervious area that will result from the development of the existing pond for residential lots at some future date. And at that time, the town said it didn't intend to develop the property right then, but requested the modification so that it wouldn't have to redo the stormwater permits if it decided to do something with the property. So in 1998, as the town was working through this process, the town clearly said in the permit applications and the permits that were approved by the state that they reserved the right to sell this property as residential lots, for residential lots. And then in May of 2004, after much issues between the developer and the Beachwalk Homeowners Association, the Department of Natural Resources, Department of Water Quality, transferred the stormwater permit, which controls the two ponds in which the water that used to go to that pond was filled in, now it goes into to the Beachwalk Homeowners Association. So they now own the stormwater permit that the water that flowed into that pond goes into and eventually passes by Town Hall and goes to the Cape Fear River down KM. And then in 06, the initial deed for that property was not filed properly either by the developer or the town. In 2006, the town had Joe Hearn, the developer who owned that property by the deed, reissued the deed to the town for the Sandman lot, and the deed was recorded. And that, also at that time, which is not on this list, but as part of that negotiation, the developer and the Curie Dunes Homeowners Association were given a, I don't know if the right word is a hold harmless, Andy, I don't know what the right word is called.
Hold harmless.
A hold harmless agreement that the town would be responsible for any issues for stormwater from the Beachwalk community if there was any issues around the pond. So if the beach walk community sued Curie Dunes because a significant amount of water was coming from Curie Dunes into beach walk. Curie Beach will be responsible for that suit, including all attorney fees and everything. One of the things I've said, if I had been on council, I wouldn't agree to, but I wasn't on council. Okay, so in 2014, I was given this, and this is how it came up. So we were at the retreat, and the issue was the property at H Avenue, H and 6, where we stored the garbage trucks, where we, where Masu has allowed us to put a storage facility, build a storage facility. Masu came to the town and said, we're concerned that you have too much stuff there, we believe because of issues at Carolina Beach, but for whatever reason, they said you have to move stuff out of there. And so at that retreat, council said, where else do we have property because we have these garbage trucks and we don't want to just park outside the town hall. We started looking at all the property in town. That came, those lots were brought up by the building inspector that here's some property that we have. And so at that retreat, the council started talking about all this different property. And we did two things. One, we entered into and bought the lots right beside the current Public Works site, so just to the north of Public Works site, so we've got two lots there. And then we looked at this property and started talking about it because we recognized we weren't going to park garbage trucks in the middle of residential area. So that's what the council did. So the council at that time said, well, we want you to tell us what we can do, because both the building inspector and the public works director at that time, Sonny Beaker, informed council that there had been multiple issues with this property, and they were concerned that we would get ourselves into a mess if we did anything with it, because it popped up multiple times in both their experiences. And so here's what council told me to do. Determine and document the issues around undeveloped town property on Sandman Drive that was formerly a retention pond. Issues around this property have occurred numerous times in the past, and the goal of this investigation is to document issues around this property from the town's perspective, the Curie Dunes HOA's perspective, and the Beachwalk Owners Association perspective to allow current and future town councils to make decisions regarding this land. So this is what I've been working on since 2014. Additional guidance. As the council was talking about it, these were kind of, okay, these are the things that when you talk with people, you should keep in your mind. Number one, the property does not make sense for any public buildings. It's in a residential community removed from other town buildings. Town's taking actions to ensure it has adequate town-owned property for future issues on properties adjacent to existing public works, which we purchased that land. These actions are not dependent on a quick resolution. So I was told at that time, there's no reason for quick action on this. Just answer the question. Council discussion saw no future path to making a town park. The town already pays for two parks, Joey's Park and the Oceanfront Park, which is significant amounts of money from the town. The stormwater permits that were modified to close the pond and redirect the stormwater support the sale of the property to residential properties. This will result in sales revenues to the town as well as ongoing tax revenues to the property. And then the council recognized there are concerns from both Beachwalk and Curie Dunes, wants to fully understand those issues to see if there's a path forward that works for everyone. So that's why I started meeting with Beachwalk and Curie Dunes. So now I'm going to state the positions as presented two Saturdays ago for me, the final positions before this meeting, right? So it's taken a long time to get here and they've moved around a lot, but this is the stated positions from both homeowners associations. And if I make any errors, Curie Dunes is right here and Beachwalk's right there, you're welcome to correct. But this is the same thing from Saturday except for changes that I got Friday. So first, Curie Dunes is concerned about liabilities to Beachwalk regarding the sale and development of the town properties, and emphasizes that its release indemnity agreement is in full force, which the town acknowledges. Putting aside this agreement, Curie Dunes' understanding is that it paid the town for the runoff responsibilities at issue in full by giving the town the detention pond parcel, which Curie Dunes didn't give it to the town, the developer did, but that's fine. That Beachwalk developer assumed these responsibilities from the town, and that the issue of the Beachwalk's HOA responsibility for this runoff was one of the subjects of a lawsuit settled in 2003. When we get to the Beachwalk one, you'll see this is viewed a little differently from Beachwalk's position. Creedence HOA wants to ensure that any sale development of the town lots will be subject to or at least consistent compatible with covenants and restrictions of the Creedence Homeowners Association as the land is in the Creedence HOA neighborhood. Any questions on the first two?
You don't have another Creedence, right?
I think there is. I'm not positive, but I think there is. We'll find out. Yes, ma'am?
Well, it's being available on the website.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Everything in the packet eventually is on the website.
Right.
Like by Wednesday morning or something. Yeah, I thought it was an offer. Yeah. Curie News has an interest in the property and wants to be involved in the decisions regarding the property, and they have been so far, although we haven't made any decisions. And just for everyone, town property, you don't just make decisions. You have public hearings and all kinds of other stuff before anything could happen to this property. The Curie News HOA does not itself yet have a firm, final, fully developed function. You can tell that this is written by an attorney. Developed position regarding the development of beach walks adjoining interior common element. That's the landlocked property that went out. However, it must be noted that most, if not all, of Curie News residents and Curie News HOA believes most of the residents of the town of Curie News overall, including many beach walk residents, are presently very much opposed to the town's granting an easement over taxpayer land to permit development of beach walks interior common element, as they all have grave concerns that such an interior development scenario would not be safe, as any proposed access road will be hazardous to planting children and other pedestrians, potentially inaccessible to emergency vehicles, would not be physically prudent, as it would require a sacrifice of valuable town taxpayer lot to enable an interior project, which appears destined to cost more to develop than it could possibly garner in ensuring lot sales. Not sure you got that. Would not be compatible with responsible stormwater runoff practices, as it will be replacing wet low-lying pervious soil with impermeable surfaces in an already challenged district, but would not be consistent with the overall continuity of the Curie News community, as it will thrust directly into the South neighborhood. So this is Curie News' position. This is from Curie News, HOA. I assume their HOA has agreed to it, at least the board, and this is what has been given to the town.
Let me just comment. So I'm Greg Germain, president of the HOA.
Yes, sir.
Our liaison did write this, and he is an attorney.
So, yes,
so in general, I just want to make the comment that to suffice, we understand and support the town's right to sell those four lots.
Okay.
We also support our neighbors, the beach walk, and their challenges, and we understand what they're going through. Our concerns are, it's listed deep in there somewhere else,
yes,
is that this is a piece of our neighborhood, and we would like the developer to be able to develop lots and have those homeowners participate in our development, because they're right smack in the middle.
I understand. That's why I've been talking to you guys for 4 years.
So essentially, that's it. We do support your ability to sell them, and you know, based on being RA1 versus RA2 and covenants, that's our other concern. Suffice, it's those really big four areas.
Yes, sir.
And there's a lot of legal, documents.
Yes, sir. I understand. No, appreciate it.
So,
just to reinforce the point of being the beach walk lot, it turns into a pond, according to the neighbors, when there's heavy rains. So it seems to be that it would be a great location for a detention pond.
Well, if your HOA would like one, I'm sure they'd sell you the property. The town doesn't want one. But we will just go forward. When we get the recommendation, we'll see where the town's going. I understand.
We're good. We got a snow one.
Okay, so beach walk. Beachwalk's position is similar to Curie News. The sale and development property seen as a potential problem. Stormwater runoff from the previous pond represents a significant load on the currently permitted beachwalk retention pond, which is the responsibility of beachwalk. An estimate of 50% of the water going to the beachwalk pond is from the previous pond, was stated during discussions. So a significant amount of stormwater flows from those properties from Curie News Phase 2 through the beachwalk pond system to the river. Beachwalk had to spend a significant money on maintenance of the stormwater system, which supports a portion of the Curie Dunes community with no cost sharing from the town on Curie Dunes. Beachwalk highlights that there is no agreement for cost sharing and does not see this as fair or equitable treatment of the cost for managing stormwater. Beachwalk property owners are being impacted by the issues with the current system. Permit was done based on capacity. The issue is not capacity, it's velocity during a large event causing damage, erosion of the pond. Good so far? Right? Still? Okay. Okay, so beach wall position. Our position has evolved from a better understanding of our current stormwater system. For our stormwater system, pond retention volume capacity is sized to treat the first 1 inch of runoff surfaces. Please note this amount of rain is time independent. However, the permit specifications were written 20 years ago before most of the houses were built and carried into Beachwalk. The unanswered question is whether Beachwalk stormwater systems properly sized for the as-built development. In other words, our recently renovated stormwater system in compliance with the as-built structures around it. This should be determined before more impervious surfaces are created by 5 to 8 new houses. Secondly, the capacity of stormwater system to handle high volumes of water from major storms is not even mentioned in our permit. Velocity of water flow through the system is slowing to high water levels because the downstream gradient is low. It's now Beachwalk's opinion that most of the erosion is triggered by the filling and draining of ponds, conditions which cause the banks to collapse. When the banks crumble or slough off or slump, the slow current moves the debris out the stream. Continue, they believe there are issues with the current lots regarding subsurface water flows. The land may not be buildable based on the fill used to close the detention pond. Type of soil used to fill the pond is inadequate. Our homeowners are saying there is subsurface water flows from these lots, surface water runoff issues. Sale and or development of these lots potentially disrupt stormwater permits and carry damage. And then, if the property is sold, what covenants or restrictions would place on the properties that would satisfy the needs of both HOAs? Our current position now includes only the sandman lots as given in the written proposal, with the 6 general parameters below. Number one, no monies are paid or received by any of the 3 participants. Town of Curie Beach retains maintenance of underground stormwater piping systems and swell of the real sandman lot. Beachwalk retains collection of stormwater runoff at ditch D1. Beachwalk provides HOA amenities to all 8/5 of the sandman lots. Town of Curie Beach retains engineering responsibilities for sandman lots development. Only single-family and multi-story structures are permitted to be built. So that was kind of Beachwalk's position. Did I catch everything correctly, Bill? Okay, thank you. There's one more. Sorry, yeah. So, continued stormwater fees in the community, but no financial support from the town of Curie Beach on resolving the existing issues related to stormwater runoff. Recognize that the town has installed some drains to fix issues to benefit the town, not Beachwalk as a community, presently paying twice to handle the stormwater, once under the town of Curie Beach's stormwater fee and once to the Homeowners Association for Stormwater, which they started 5 years ago. This is about the lawsuit that was mentioned earlier. The Beachwalk lawsuit against Beachwalk's developer, Beachwalk Development Inc., was a lawsuit that did not involve either Curie Beach nor Curie Dunes as parties, and nothing was adjudicated related to any controversy Beachwalk may have had or still has with the town of Curie Dunes. The lawsuit was voluntarily dismissed, incident to a settlement agreement, and no court ever adjudicated, I'm glad I pronounced that right, or decided any issues of law or fact in the resolution of the suit. In the settlement agreement, the parties agreed that the execution of this agreement shall neither operate nor be construed in any respect as constituting an admission of liability of any such party to any other person, firm, corporation, or any other entity. Rather, this agreement constitutes a compromise of disputed claims. Parties hereto expressly deny that any of them are in any respect liable to any other person, firm, corporation, or other entity with respect to the subject matter. Lawsuit and disagreement have no bearing on the controversy between the 3 parties. That's the position of Beachwalk. Beachwalk owns property that is currently undevelopable due to it not having sufficient asset and has requested in the past an easement of the property for the purpose of possibly developing or selling this land. Should I struck that out? You left out him, right?
Yes. You should have instructed.
I apologize. I'll fix that. So, Bill sent me a change and I didn't catch this one. So, they want this focus just on Sandman out there.
Right.
And then, the Beachwalk owned land will be required to be in the Beachwalk HOA. I seen both of those two. Should be struck out?
Yes.
Yeah, I apologize. I missed that. Go on. Any questions on Beachwalk's position? Everyone thoroughly confused?
Yeah, I just want to make sure I confirm and go back. So, the change from the last discussions is you're not including the Beachwalk.
That's right.
In this discussion.
That's what I'm saying now.
For this discussion.
Okay. I'll delete these before I post them. I'll fix that before I get them to you.
So everything's relative to 4 or 5 lots.
Okay, so here's really what all you guys came for, right? The last 2 slides, honestly. But I want to make sure you heard all the stuff this got us to where we are, right? So this is the investigation conclusion. So this is my investigation with the attorney and the mayor report to the rest of the council. and then a recommendation on the next slide. So that's the probably the real one here. So, in conclusion, the town has the right to sell or develop these properties. Both HOAs have expressed that they have serious concerns and potentially would take legal action to prevent the sale. So during the last 4 years, at different times, both HOAs have, in email and in verbal, said that if the town did not follow these particular points, that they would sue, they would engage in legal action to prevent the sale. I'm not saying that's what they are going to do, I'm just saying that's what's been said. While this is a possibility, the town's position based on the facts is strong. The current facts support the town with prevailing legal challenge. So, per our attorney and research, we believe the town, in the end, would prevail, but we don't want to get in lawsuits because that's a waste of everyone's money. Beachwalk HO has property adjacent to the town's property that is currently undevelopable. It only has, and I looked that up, it's actually spelled right on it, it doesn't look right, but that's how it's spelled. It only has a 10-foot easement from the south, making it undevelopable. Did it twice. Beachwalk HO has expressed an interest in easement. Even though that's not their current position, they did request from the town last summer an easement, so that's still true. Including working with the town to have 5 versus 4 developable lots from the town's property based on facts. Currently, the Beachwalk HOA does not have approval for development or easement requests from its members. So the town council received communication from Beachwalk residents that said that they would like to sell for the development of this property. So right now that's in flux. We don't know the answer. And that's a Beachwalk HOA issue, not the town's. But that's where it currently is in the town's understanding. And then finally, multiple individual property owners adjacent to the property have stormwater safety and other concerns regarding any development. And council has been forwarded all of the emails that I've gotten or that the mayor's gotten regarding these issues. And I know you guys have all read them because you read all your emails. So that's the conclusions. So now recommendations. Stormwater concerns have came up with both HOAs, and additionally, Denise Hubbard presented to council 2 months ago stormwater concerns following the hurricane. Based on that, based on talking with Jimmy, the fact that we're working to get a stormwater survey of the north part of town, my recommendation to the council is no action regarding this property until after that study has been completed. If we needed property for a pond or for some stormwater type system, that's the only place the town owns property right now in that area to do anything with. So until we have that survey and we can direct that survey, that's why we're talking about the scope of the stormwater survey, to specifically look at that issues around this property in addition to the highlighted properties from Denise's presentation in April. I would recommend that we would not do anything with this property. That, however, doesn't change the conclusion that legal and I forwarded to council that the town could sell this property and develop it if they want. So that's my recommendation to council. And then finally, just for the audience, for the town to sell property, the first thing that happens is at an open council meeting, the town has to declare excess property. Then it has to be advertised for 60 days, Nancy. I don't remember the exact facts for selling real property, but there's a certain period of time it has to be advertised, including putting notices on the property so you can see signs. And then there's open public hearings where the public can come in to council and tell them their views of why this property is not excess to the town before it could ever be listed for sale. So it's not like this could be done in a council meeting in secret or anything like that. But my recommendation is as this stands from council. So I'll open it to questions from council and then from the audience.
Do we have a time frame of this completed study?
So we have to write the scope, and then we have to get the bid. Jimmy and I hope to have it at the July meeting. Council has to approve the funding, and I would imagine with all the reviews at that end of town, including for you homeowners association reviews your maintenance from all your ponds. So when we do the stormwater study, they will actually look that your ponds are up to what they're supposed to be. Just a heads up. I would imagine that wouldn't happen until the late fall. I would think if we get it ready with the scope and get a good bid in July, council will still have to approve it. And then August, September, October. I can't imagine them doing any faster than 3 months or 4 months, so it would be November, December, the earliest, I would think. And then council's got to decide what we're going to do with the recommendations.
Thank you.
That's my estimate.
You said it would possibly be up to 6 months.
Yeah. So Jim's got to need a longer time.
You keep mentioning the north side of town. Is this going to include general lighting?
We're going to write the scope to do multiple areas and see how it plays out. But I think the first focus would be there based on the issues.
Well, just because the next topic, of course, is mine with Matsu and storm drainage. So you're going to incorporate settlers and all that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you'll look at the scope. So as we're writing the scope, council will look at the scope. But we're going to focus it there. General lighting, we just did, $20,000 worth of stormwater work, and we think that should solve the two issues down there. That's what we believe. From the audience. Yes, ma'am. How are you doing, sir?
Hi. How are you? Just to be clear, the survey that you're going to conduct, and you said that they would look to see if the pond, if the beach walkman improving ponds are up to their specs. But is that survey going to include, they're going to look at those two private ponds and see whether or not they're going to be able to absorb and make
so they're going to look at most of the north part of town. I just mentioned that they would also look at the maintenance records for the ponds, because if you're looking at stormwater, the receiving systems have to be looked at as well. And the reason I key that is the town doesn't own those ponds. The homeowners association are responsible for the maintenance of those ponds. And if they haven't been doing that properly, once the town knows that they haven't been doing that, we have to report it to the state. So during that survey, if something comes up, the town will report that to the state.
But it won't be a survey to see how much stormwater those ponds have been gone.
Their permit is already there. No. It will be, are there issues? Because Denise Everett brought, which we're trying to collate the data from the hurricane, but she brought a presentation in April about stormwater issues that happened during the hurricane. And had a number of properties that she highlighted. And because of that, we want to look at one, is the existing system, which we think is well maintained. Jimmy, we think is doing a good job. We're going to evaluate the current system. And then, is it suitable for what we have now? Because the design criteria for stormwater systems is really an inch and a half, not an inch, west of 95. With the water, we're starting to see more and more where we want to see where we are. And the town wants to know that. And if there's like a couple of areas that we can invest some smart money and make the systems much better because there's some choke points, we want to know that so we can do that.
So that, and that's my follow-up question. I think in the budget approval last week or $15,000 or whatever for stormwater change improvement, is that what we're talking about, or is that unrelated to
it's to this survey, yes. And then if we have, once we know what we need to do or what is recommended from the survey, then we come back to council and potentially need additional funding. And then we work with Arlen on how we would do that, and we would readdress the stormwater fee that we all pay.
To be honest, we really don't know what they will tell us. They may tell us that the current system is fine at 1.5 inches. And they may tell us that no system is going to handle a hurricane overflow. We assume they're going to come up with things that say, based on certain points, there could be things we could do to improve that drainage, hopefully.
Okay. So, on that subject,
yes.
So it's kind of interesting, because the beach walk, the D1 ditch that comes from the Sandman and then goes under the Fifth Avenue and into the pond. So, like for instance, before and now, since we've had this drought, it should be dropped, but it's not. So it's now, passing any amount of standing water, even in really dry, hot days. And then on the road, so they're kind of telling us that beach walk system is, it's not draining all the way out during certain times, especially in between rains.
Well, the 1,000 gallons that people were irrigating with is ending up in that system.
Could be, right? So, yeah, so depending on all.
That's all the reason to raise on high usage water.
And then, but on the top, so on the road, which is, on the town road on Fifth Avenue, in that D1 ditch and road, the drain systems are not sloping. There's a hump that the water has to go over before it hits into the drain. And so there's kind of a little confusion because Beachwalk homeowners is not really wanting to work on the street to make sure that that drain goes through. And so, you know, there was some crumbling parts that I think the town did some work on, but there's still a lot of standing water that comes on the town road trying to make that pump.
Well, if it's identified, then that would be one of the things we're addressing.
So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I'm just, is all that going to be included in this?
Well, we're writing the scope now, so that's the plan. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, there are a variety of solutions, right? They could recommend weirs or dams, which would elevate water and then give you a little more elevation. We don't know what to expect, Julie, but we expect they'll have some recommendations we can go forward with.
So there is a little bit of working together between what is town public system versus what is running through these private systems.
Yeah, there's always, there certainly is. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jimmy works on all kinds of things. And we actually try to work with all the homeowners associations on the stormwater issues. It is definitely worth it. But the issue is the town does not own the ponds or the maintenance of the ponds.
Right.
But during the survey, we will review them, or actually the engineer will, and if there's any issues that are highlighted, the homeowners association needs to be aware of. They should already be aware of them. If they're not, they'll come up.
They are. And I think that's part of the concern is you've got 85 residents that forever will be responsible for maintaining that area no matter what development happens or doesn't happen.
Yes, ma'am. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
A little scary.
I was just going to say that the invert is the bottom of the culvert. The bottom of the invert of the ditch comes from the pipe coming in from the Sandman line. If I'm somewhere around 8 or 10 inches lower than the invert of the ditch of the culverts that we have in our system.
Mm-hmm.
So it's substantially lower. So the water is always standing in that pipe, right?
Yeah.
And we'll see if the engineer says we should change that or not.
Right.
It's always in that first ditch too.
Yes.
Because the outlets are above the water line.
A substantial amount.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Our ponds are within spec. And that's not the problem. It's the amount of water coming in and the inability of the town's pipe to let that water go out quick enough to go to the river. And that's
so during the hurricane, I was standing right over there when everyone was flooding town, and that pipe was not full. So I was standing at it. So I don't think that's the issue.
Well, but that pond.
I'm just telling you, I was there.
I know, but the pond should raise to the 20-foot level. And when it gets to that 20-foot level, it should go straight out to the river.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
Okay, so something's wrong someplace.
I'm just telling you that during the hurricane, when all the town was flooded, the houses around that pond were not flooded.
Oh, they got very close, Dave.
I understand. But the water was coming down so much that 421 was not draining. So that system was draining as fast as it could drain, and it was not stopped up at that pipe right over there at the corner because I was standing on it.
Mm-hmm.
I understand, David, that hurricanes are above and beyond the norm.
Right.
But after, like last year, when we had consecutive days of rain and it builds up gradually in the pond, especially the south pond, because everything empties into that. And half of our, like a third of our backyard is water. And we have potentially, we're potentially losing trees.
So that's why we're doing the survey to understand.
Yeah.
Right?
Thanks, Dave.
I mean, you know, we'll see what the engineer says. We have made sure that the pipes are clear. All of council walked the entire ditch line all the way to the river in February. And we've got permission from Osu to walk before the hurricane system. We made sure that the pipes are completely unobstructed all the way from the entry to the ditch line after the construction period. So there's nothing obstructing anything. I don't know what to say other than that.
anything we rarely do, Beach Walk does, and I know a lot of other areas do as well, communities. We really appreciate all the work of the town and the workers of the public works and all the people that were here and kept things flowing.
Well, I mean, that's the Jimmy and the staff. The town wants to take care of your property. We do. Mm-hmm. And council will support and will fund projects that make sense. But we got to make sure that they're well engineered so they don't cause a problem somewhere else, right? That's why the recommendation is don't do anything until we know. The town, I will tell you this, the town's not really interested in opening up another pond. I mean, if it was the right thing to do, that's what the town will do, but that's not what we would like to do. The town doesn't want to own ponds. We've resisted that throughout the history of the town. We own one, the sewer pond. That's the only one we have. Yes, sir.
2006, you had a couple of stones in the culvert. Dropped 22 inches of rainfall here. At that time, Sonny Beaker documented that that pond rose a half inch above the flood, the outflow to the floods in the river. In Florence, we had 24 inches of rain.
We had 29, but okay.
Well, that's
over 2 days. Nicole moved much more rapidly. This set and lingered.
This dropped 18 inches in a very short period of time. Yeah. Cold.
24 to 29.
Okay, right. Yes, sir. The pond water raised a half inch. In the cold, it raised an additional 3 foot. And that's what caused the flooding in our area. I'm out 23 feet above sea level, and I had one room with my garage.
Yes, sir.
Something's not right.
We will have an engineer review it, but we've looked at the pipes and we think they're right, and it was not full. It was not ever filling right over there where all that water goes. I'm not saying there's not a problem somewhere else, but y'all just did a huge amount of work on your pond 2 years ago?
Two years ago.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
So I'm not sure where it is or what happened. I don't know what to tell you about that.
Since the cold, there's been extensive, we had 5 houses built in our area. In Beachwell. I don't know how many were built in current use, but that added water was something we didn't have in 2006. So that added to our problem. And now we're talking about putting more houses in the same system that didn't handle what we already have.
Yes, sir. That's not what we're talking about now until after we do the study.
Okay.
Bill, we'll come to some conclusion, and we'll come to a conclusion on that study. So, and it'll be shared, right? We're paying for it as a collective unit. It'll be shared. Is the output, is there a drain in that lake, or is it a level drain, or is it out, or is it a submerged drain?
Spillover. It raises
just
the
spillover.
It raises up to a certain level.
And then it's only spillover.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I was with David when we were, that pipe was running wide open. It wasn't full, but okay.
Any other questions?
I'd like to address.
Oh, yes, sir.
Can I address?
Sure.
Okay. You want to come up there?
Wherever you want to be. I'll okay. Just move it if you want up here. You can be right here, fine, wherever you want.
Okay, I'll just sit right here. Please.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to say a few things that are kind of uncomfortable, but they have to be said anyway. My name is Bill Bryan. I live at 126 Settlers Lane, right across the street with you guys. Beach Walk Board of Directors will support the sale of the salmon lot only if the two following conditions are met. We want to be assured that the actual impervious area is located in the town of Curie Beach's roads. And Curie Dunes do not exceed that as delineated in our stormwater permit.
Fair enough. That's required.
We are concerned about the additional runoff in our stormwater system, especially in view of Hurricane Florence we all experienced last September. You say that the new that the study will do this?
That's what we're going to have to look at.
Yes, sir.
Because this is being driven because of Hurricane Florence.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Number two. We want any and all new homes built on the salmon lot to be under the jurisdiction of HOA of Beachwalk, subject to our dues. In the past 20 years, Beachwalk has received no monetary compensation for handling stormwater runoff from the town of Curie Beach or Curie Dunes. I believe that the legal term of this is untested richmond. As stated in Beach Walk stormwater permit, more than half of the stormwater that flows through our system comes through the other areas other than our own Fury Dunes 2 and 3 contributes 40% of the town, and the county 3 Beach contributes 13%. That's a total of 53%. Less than half of the water that we, Beach Walk, today comes from our community. Less than half comes from our community, more than half comes from off site. 2 years ago, we spent over $335,000 to bring our stormwater system into compliance. Each of the 85 homeowners paid $4,000 for our stormwater repair. That's $4,000 per household. Quite a bit. During the repair, the town of Fury Beach contributed parts and labor, which helped us immensely. Thank you. And we thank you for this. We have a much better stormwater system because of your help. Conversely, and unfortunately, and I hate to say this, but I have to say it, Fury Beach contributed nothing to us for the repair of our system. Needless to say, our homeowners are tired of paying the full burden, and to be blunt, we're just tired of the freeloading. If new homes are built on the Sand End lot, Beach Walk strongly believes that these new homes should be under the jurisdiction of Beach Walk HOA. Dues paid to us will help offset a minimum compensation. If the town of Fury Beach awards the Sand End lot rights to Curie Dunes, or if the town of Fury Beach withholds the HOA rights of Beach Walk, and we have to fund the additional stormwater from the Sand End lot, this would be down mountain road and solace to our wounds. In conclusion, there's two things that we would like to have. We'd like to make sure that the study shows that it will handle it. And number two is that we would like to secure the HOA rights from the salmon lot to offset the cost of the extra cost of handling the stormwater. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Can you give a copy of that to the man so you can get it in as well?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Is that number one, can those conditions be part of the sale? Would they most likely be part of the sale? I would think that development, whether or not it goes into any HOA or not, is up to the developer. So
it's up to the town. You can make it part of the you can make it part of the deed before you sell the property.
So the town.
So you can assign where it goes.
The
town council has it.
That these are the conditions of the
self
to any.
Correct. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Sir?
Would a study be done prior to that? A study probably isn't the proper word, but we looked at to see how much those restrictions make the value of the town's property.
The council would decide what they were going to do with the properties. And the council would have to talk about it. And it would be an open meeting.
Is that would make, I don't know the ramifications of this, but that would make then the town and the owner a member of any particular HOA that decided to put the property in, would it not?
No, because we would sell we would encumber the deeds when this goes into this area.
So just
so we would not become a member of the HOA ever, whoever bought it would. Sorry, the town doesn't become members of HOA.
I like that. Right, so it would be restrictions in the deed.
Exactly right. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
I'm not sure that without a homeowner's vote for membership, that would be allowed to, that the HOA board would give the town permission to put conditions that those residents have to be part of this HOA, unless that HOA voted.
I don't know. The town would have to figure that out. The town would have to say it's going to conform to its requirements. The first one is going to conform to, because that's a state requirement that we don't violate a stormwater permit. The town would definitely conform to that. The second one, if either one of these HOAs, these lots are encumbered, this is totally up to the council, and then the HOA would have to figure out if they're going to accept it or not before it's sold.
No.
We work through the lawsuits of which one or both of those, if that happens.
I also need to make this comment, and I really don't mean for it to be very harsh, and I'm not trying to make it harsh, but right now both HOAs would like to be involved in this property and have the revenue. We will not let the other 2,100 people who own this property be held hostage by this discussion. This property belongs to the town, not to the two HOAs, except to the extent that you are part of the town. So I just want to let you know, we're not going to wait forever to come to a conclusion once we have this study. We haven't talked. I don't know where they are, but I need to represent 2,200 folks.
But again, it'll be a public process. It's not like you have plenty of time to come and ask all these questions, but you're welcome to ask right now.
Yes, sir. First one to ask, I know my friends from Beach Walk, when they talked about freeloaders, they're talking about career dealings along with some other people. And I'm sure, I just want to make sure council knows, which I'm sure they have, given they've been dragged through this for so long, as well as the audience, is that was what David was referring to back in 2006, when discussions happened between our developer, Joe Hearn, and what to do with another stormwater pond. And at that point, Curry Dunes did its job to make sure that the runoff was correct. And back to David's point, we will manage our ponds the way that we were expected to, and we expected it is up to date. So we don't see ourselves as freeloaders. That was a negotiation done between our developer and your developer, and it just seems like you're going to wipe that arrangement. There's not much we can do about that. The other part, too, is this is not about a money thing. As I mentioned before, our views are less than $500 a year. So four lots is $2,000. It means nothing to us. We're more concerned about the neighbors in Curry Dunes or in Curry Beach in general. If they're in that neighborhood, does it make sense for them to partake in our pool, our beach access? That's our point. We're not the money.
I think where I'd like to take this, are there any final questions relative to the conclusion that is recommended, which is mean study it and don't do anything until it's done? Okay, I really want to truncate this. You have more to go. Go ahead.
So yeah, thank you for letting us comment afterwards, because it really bears down a lot of what we're speaking to. And it speaks to your point about 2,200 residents and so forth. So the one thing that I'd like to say is actually, this discussion goes back even farther than 2006, because we've lived here for a very long time. In 2010, there was a public community gathering here in at the community center regarding this very same issue, where a lot of different proposals were brought to the table, and we left. The citizens left thinking that the conclusion was, we're going to look into how to just enhance it as a green space, not build a park, but enhance it in terms of its ability to function as intended to help control stormwater. Putting more trees, putting more plants, whatever, maybe a dog path, but not a park or anything like that. There was even architectural landscaping design submitted at the end of that discussion to say, here's how the town could even use this green space to help the town and the community with stormwater and other things. So I would just refer back to a little bit of that history. In terms
who
of
was that? Because I couldn't find that in the records. And there's like sheets of records.
They've been out of town, but I went back to Nancy Brigham when she was on Parks and Recs, and Craig was the landscaper who drew up the design for an enhanced green space.
Who on the council was there? Because it's not in the council records.
It was Barry Nelder.
Huh?
Barry Nelder.
Anybody
Barry
else?
2010?
Yeah.
I don't know if Nancy.
That's fine. Okay.
But, yeah.
I'll be glad to show you all the records that we have that I went through. Right. If you can find them or give me more.
I know. We would try. Yeah, we would definitely try. I don't even know if there were minutes taken.
There are
minutes. Like that for 2010. From that.
Oh, okay.
So then my comments are just in terms of, as you're looking at options, I'm hearing a lot of just it's only a project to look at what can be done to develop, sell, whatever the green space. Can you please, by request, make some part of your survey or evaluation on what the option of leaving it as a green space would be?
Yep.
And I'm using that because those are my two concerns. Reduction in green space for our town, for our community, I don't think is a good thing. And there are many health and environmental benefits to maintaining green space.
and they're widely accepted across our state and across our country for what those benefits are. And I actually have, if nobody has done any research on why we should keep green space in our community and what the benefits would be, and I'd like to submit plenty of references, a couple of pages of references on the benefits of maintaining green space for towns and communities. So, or at least request that that is part of this evaluation when the final recommendation is made.
So you're welcome to give it to Manny, she'll put it in the records.
Okay.
And I would say that after the stormwater survey, if council decides to readdress this issue and is posted, that's the perfect time to bring that up to the council for consideration.
Okay.
Sir, one question. When you viewed the pipe, you said it was half full. Were you doing it on the far side of the Taurus Bay?
Doing it right there in the corner where the second pond leaves Peach Walk and goes under the road to go to the river.
So you saw where the fifth and our pond jumps into that little hole down there?
Yes.
Right across the street.
Right over here across the street.
Right by 100
where
over here, whatever.
The ditch empties into there. Behind the properties and then goes under the ground to the river.
That's in the D5, Mike.
The end of D5.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
It wasn't where it entered the ditch.
It's where it enters right here.
Into the town.
And then it goes underground, you know, through this park lot, and then goes into the ditch. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you, everyone.
Okay.
And this will be posted.
Thank you.
I'll give you guys an update.
Thank you. Okay, Commissioner Whitley, Matsu and stormwater drainage.
I think we've covered stormwater drainage. About everything that I was going to say.
You got to write a in the plan to make sure you got everything.
What do you mean?
The survey you're going to do.
Yeah.
I'd like to speak on
yes,
one
Bill.
Thing, please. Back in 2007, I was assured by the town council that some properties that were being built behind one of my homes that I'm in Fort Fisher, that we would not have an issue with stormwater. And this house is 510 South Fort Fisher Boulevard. Both Jimmy and John know that there's a problem. And I have foundation cracks now from the stormwater. And I was assured that when these townhouses were being built behind my home, that we would not have any problems at all. And now, you know, we've talked about this. I have not heard back from Jimmy, but it's become a major issue now.
510 South Fort Fisher?
Yes. So when we start talking about Beach Walk, and we start talking about Curry Dunes and the property that was meant to be a retention pond, you know, I hope the study is very complete and thorough. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Okay. Any comments about the Matsu drainage?
Yeah.
Well, the only thing I would say is that that is work that would be done behind Settlers Lane, into the rear of Settlers Lane, which should helpfully reduce water that would actually be coming across potentially. But they have a lot of water in their yards during any rain. So we're working with Matsu to do some work back there.
And the Matsu land use plan, I'll go ahead and say this, it does come to a head next Monday night. They will be here from across the river at 6 p.m. This has been going on for about 10 months. And all their recommendations for Carolina Beach, Curry Beach, Leland, Boiling Springs, the state ports, the final plan will be presented next week, next Monday night, here at our town hall.
Nice. Okay. Well, we're on a water theme. Mr. Messimer, Resolution R-1907, adopting local water supply plan.
Yes.
Any comments you'd like to make about that? You would like us to adopt the resolution?
Yes.
Based on the report on file.
Yes, sir.
Are there any questions for Jim on this particular point? I mean, I've looked at the report. I know that David's looked at the report. Questions?
No, I have none.
So this is required to be updated periodically?
Yeah.
And this captures all of the town's water supply sources, which are wells, as well as the sewer system, and then planning for the future. So wastewater and water and sewer. It shows the last 12 months usage averages for your information. And it's all online for everyone in the council packet. So if you ever want to see where all your water comes from and your sewer goes to, it's in there. Make a motion we approve the resolution as presented.
Second.
Okay. Any other discussion, questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you, Jimmy.
All set with that. Water conservation. Me. Okay, we recently had some voluntary water conservation notices sent out on the website. It is this council's view that we should, even though we don't use Cape Fear public utility water, that we should follow at least their directions relative to shortages and droughts. I believe we do have the ability to check the depth of our wells, right, Jimmy? So, but we will usually try to stay consistent with their directives. Most recently, that was a directive that said, voluntarily curb your water use. And then we had some good rain. I would still tell you it is a good practice during the summer when we have about five times the population between Carolina Beach and Curie Beach that we are attentive to our water use. We use wells. They are the aquifer wells. And there's whole other discussions about that. But in any case, so you will, if you hear things from us on water conservation, or if you see Cape Fear Public Utility issuing something, you can probably depend that we will issue something behind it, just for awareness. Adoption of the proposed budget ordinance and fee schedule. Arlen, I didn't call on you before because I knew you couldn't wait for this.
It's my favorite time of year.
Yes.
Well, actually, in your agenda packet, you have the proposed fiscal year 20 budget ordinance and also the proposed fee schedule. There have been no changes since what was presented at the May council meeting. I could just mention that for the general fund, it's about $5.5 million. The water and sewer fund is about $2.4 million. Stormwater is about $335,000. Capital fund is $66,000. Federal asset forfeiture fund is $50,000. Beach protection fund is $24,500. And the sewer expansion reserve fund is a little over $17,000. So the grand total for all of those for the town is about $8.5 million. And we went through in great detail at the May council meeting. There have been no proposed changes since that meeting.
Okay. So nothing has changed since the public hearing. There it is. Now we've had four budget meetings, we've had public hearings, we've had this published and out on the site, so I'll ask, are there any questions?
Very good. Wow. Nice job, Arlen. Make a motion we approve the budget as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Thank you, Arlen. A lot of work in there. Good work, by the way.
Yes.
Discussion and consideration of new business. Discussion on the use of beach wheelchairs. On beach wheelchairs, these are free wheelchairs that are provided to handicapped individuals so they can be mobile on our beach. Large tires, they're available for free. They're available from our fire department. Ed, how many do we have?
We have five.
We have five. So we have five for the entire population of our town. And we really have not provided the fire department with specific direction on how to use them. I mean, how long, who, etc. So I'd open that to council discussion at this point.
So I think my input would be, you know, these chairs, I guess the Island Women, Ed, is that right?
Yeah, I believe it was a combined effort with Island Women and the SLAP committee back. Yeah, but originally set up by SLAP committee and then moved over to Island Women. They're the one that provided the big.
Right, so when we started the program, it was a island-wide thing, so both fire departments were given chairs.
Yeah.
The reason this, I think, got put on is because there's concerns that there are times when all the chairs are out and we don't have them, and there's no guidance to the fire department on should it be residents or visitors to Curie Beach versus someone in Carolina Beach. And I think both the fire departments have, when they're out, tell whoever's requesting it, there's one at the other fire department. Is that right, Ed? That's
fine. Yeah, Carolina Beach, your Parks and Recs Committee takes care of theirs, and Curie Beach Fire Department takes care of it. But that's right. You know, back when they originally given, I think it was either 13 or 15 wheelchairs, and it was asked, how many do you think you need? So it wasn't like it was a, hey, you get five and you get 10. I think Harold at the time had decided five was enough for Curie Beach just for half the size, and 10 could go to Carolina Beach. And then if it ever came down to where Carolina Beach ran out of chairs, they could come to Curie Beach and then vice versa.
Okay. And so I just think we need to be aware of what the history was. My point is, it's very infrequent that we run out, and it's always on big holiday weekends, as I understand it. Is that right, Ed? So, I mean, I wouldn't want to limit someone when we have a chair because they can't plan ahead. So that's just my input.
Well, I mean, that's a great point. My question would be, can I rent it, or can I ask for it in May and return it in December?
Currently, we have no limits on the length, but okay. The average time is about a week.
So we should, I think that we should fix.
Yeah. So there's at least that point.
I agree.
I did go back to the records. The longest we've had them running out was 3 weeks.
3 weeks?
3 weeks.
Okay.
I think a week is the right, and then they can chance again.
They
right?
can come back and try again.
I mean, they can always request it for the second week.
That's right.
Sure they can.
But they got to bring it back.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, I'm up for that. I just think, you know, I think in some of the emails it was we should restrict it to previous residents and visitors, and one, that's hard for the fire department to implement because, you know, unless you bring a rental agreement, your license might be from Maryland or somewhere. Yeah. And we don't, you know, putting them in that seems like a hassle. Mm-hmm. And two, I wouldn't want one sitting there when someone could be using it just because of mm-hmm. our policy.
Right.
Unless Carolina Beach changes theirs, I don't think we should change ours. But I do like the limiting it.
Are we going to adopt the policy, or are we going to develop the policy, or what are we going to do?
Well, I think Nancy's memo, you could just add to that. Because that's just what's on the website, right, Nancy? Mm-hmm.
I think we can develop a very brief thing that says, these chairs are available to any qualifying individual, right, that could use them for X period of time.
Yeah, and I think, do we need a policy other than just how it's on the website?
Other than just mention it.
I'd say that's up to the chief.
Chief, do you need like a formal policy or just?
I don't think we need a policy, but I think clear directions on the website. Most of our time is spent answering questions about the wheelchair as opposed to filling up. It's one sheet of paper and it's a license. And I do want to clarify, someone asked, it's not rented, it's actually free. You just mm-hmm. come and make a copy of a driver's license. And a lot of times, too, we get people that stay in Carolina Beach that want to rent the wheelchair, but they use it in Curie Beach as well because they're big part of it.
Right.
So I think if we just clarify on the website, if you want to limit the turnout, that's certainly reasonable, but I don't think it's very often that we get people that rent more than a week.
Are we often out of chairs, or do we almost always have a chair when somebody...
During the summertime, I'd say about 50% of the time we're out.
50% of the time we're out.
Wow. More than I thought.
Yes,
I have a question about the chairs. I mean, I know they came from the Isle of Women and or whatever. What happens if the whoever is borrowed them tears them up?
We fix them. About $160 a tire, and we probably go through 3 or 4 a year. Fire department.
Nobody's ever caught one of the tires, though, and it's gone to sea, right?
Well, we have their driver's license on record, so mm-hmm. we probably charge them for it. I think we work it out, but that's why we have their driver's license.
These are plastic chairs with...
They're stainless steel.
Rubber
tires.
Yeah, they're pretty nice.
Okay. I remember the plastic for some reason.
I will add, the maintenance is fairly easy on them. The delivery is a little bit of an issue sometimes, but we're up front, let them know, hey, you have to work around the fire department staff. It might be an hour before we get to delivering them. We do not deliver them out of district, so we let them know that well ahead of time as well. But we've never had an issue with someone not bringing them back. And people are very grateful for them as well. So it's a good service.
Yeah, I think it is.
Okay. All right. So we will take an action to give some firm direction to the fire department, probably just on duration.
Can we do that now?
We could.
Make a motion to the guy that says limit the checkout period to 1 week.
Second.
Nikki?
That is renewal.
Add that you might want to throw in a clause about what surface it could be run over. Because if you run it on the boardwalk, there's a good chance the tires can pop, like just maybe like sand only.
Well, it's got to go through the boardwalk to get to the sand.
What we tell them to do is, and this is part of our process, is every time they check it out, as we're loaded, we let them know to not sit in it until they're actually on the beach, have the wheelchair down on the ramp, then get into the wheelchair off the ramp on the sand. How often they do that, we usually find out when they bring them pop tire back.
Right. We could add that as well. I mean.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, that help, Ed? Thank you. Traffic changes at Kay and Fort Fisher. Gentlemen, I'd like to discuss these traffic changes brought about by the golf cart, rental, and taxi service, and by the parking service that is now at the next to the Quick Mart. I reviewed the area with the chief to maximize safety for the individuals around, at least in our opinion. And at this point in time, the first entrance is a golf cart entrance or exit. What we would need to do there is they can only take a right-hand turn out of that lot into the flow of traffic. Therefore, the thought is that we eliminate the parking spaces that are right there and replace those two parking spaces with a hatched yellow space for commercial delivery only. Mm-hmm. That will keep those spaces open with the exception of potentially a few mornings a week when the stores and the restaurants fill their food requirements. Mm-hmm. It'll also give us a little more space there so that we don't have so much backup when people are trying to get down the street. So that would be point number one. For the paid parking use, in talking to the residents to keep down the dust and to keep down the congestion at K and 3rd, where you can only make a right-hand turn and not a left-hand turn, and people continue to turn around in yards, on driveways, back up, create dust, create confusion, create problems in traffic. The thought is that we would open the second entrance to the parking lot down there. And that entrance is at what we have now called the trolley stop. Mm-hmm. We would take down the trolley stop sign which we haven't had a trolley stop for 3 years. So we take down the trolley stop sign. We will reduce one parking space in that particular area to allow a right-hand turn by a vehicle, by a truck or a car. And so they'd have a good line of sight and they could make that turn. That should alleviate congestion at 3rd and K, and thereby alleviate congestion then at K and Fort Fisher. Lastly, I would recommend that we place a sign at 3rd and J. And that sign at 3rd and J would say, no left turn on 3rd and K, to prevent people from going down 3rd Street and creating that mess. So we'd have flow through the lot, you'd be able to only make a right-hand turn, but when you come back up, you wouldn't be turning back on K unless you wanted to get back onto Fort Fisher, or you could leave town going straight through. Did I miss anything, Chief?
No, sir.
I think you did.
Okay, go ahead, John.
You know, where you open up this second exit at where the trolley sign is?
Close to it, yes, very close.
And you're going to make that a right turner?
Yes.
And those are going to be cars?
And yeah, trucks.
And okay. Trucks, that's right.
Yes.
And I would suggest if that's a concern, you're that much further down from the light, that we make the two turns out of Sam's lot right turn on.
I agree with you 100%. I guess I didn't mention that. Isn't that
it says right turn only?
Yeah, so
it makes
that's
a right turn only exit to Fort Fisher.
Yeah, in that second exit of that lot.
I'm the talking car about already his, is, supposedly.
I'm talking about his gas station turns.
Oh. Hmm.
And that happened to me yesterday on Sunday. There was a car at the gas pump, so I got very little line of sight. I pulled in up close to the bumpers to the golf cart lot. Mm-hmm. Now I'm backing up. I'm trying to get, and I'm going to make a left-hand turn, which is mm-hmm. legal right now.
Yeah.
But if cars come down to make a right-hand turn off of K, the light's green, but it's red for them, but they can turn right on red. So I'm getting ready to go out, and that guy doesn't, because I'm not over here in that lane of traffic. He or she doesn't see me. I'm trying to make a left-hand turn, and boom, we're getting real close to each other. If we're concerned further down mm-hmm. Fort Fisher of being a right-hand turn only, I think there should be just right-hand turns out of Sam's gas station yeah. lot.
That's a fair point, John. I'm thinking that the parking lot holds 50 to 60 vehicles. Sam's lot holds 10, I think. Right. I think the rest of the council, I'm certainly open to that discussion. And I mean, if anybody has any better ideas about the backups that we get off of K onto Fort Fisher for people trying to turn and stop and wait for people to back out and then back everybody back out so because they won't move.
But we need to talk to Sam about that.
Yeah. Well, I think I would. We would speak to Sam about that as to what his feelings are about that. Ultimately,
well, the other
his opinion issue, could count. It wouldn't necessarily be the vote.
Well, the other issue is out of Sam's is all locals, or a lot of locals, not all, because mm-hmm. he obviously gets a lot of, out of those lots is all non-locals. And I don't know how many locals would not just keep turning left, and then we got the police chief dealing with the problem, right? We're going to make a problem for the police chief if you say you can't take a left out of the only store and the only gas station in town.
Then I would allow cars to make a left out of this
one. I think that we're opening up another artery. I don't think we should let them make a left. I agree with the mayor. I mean, we're adding a new place, and if you looked this past weekend, there were 60 cars in there, and all of them coming out trying to make a left would just be a nightmare. Between 5 and 6, most of them came out. because I was coming back over the bridge and it was backed all the way up to the ballpark. It was backed all the way up to the ballpark, so I think most of it came out right about that same time.
Why don't we do this? We've had a lot of time to think about this one. Why don't we take a look at this, John, and then we certainly can think about that a little more and get the chief's opinion and other opinions. It's not a bad idea. I think it's a tough idea, though. But any thoughts here? We need to give direction to Jimmy so he knows what to do. And to probably John will be looking at this.
I'm supportive of all your recommendations. I'm ready to vote on it.
I support them.
And then can you make it a drawing so Jimmy knows where to paint? So
yeah, we can do that. Right. Actually, we'd walk down there and walk it off.
Yeah.
Does the golf park place put up their building yet?
Not yet. It's not
no,
here yet.
No, they still have a pop-up.
They still have a pop-up.
I don't know if they're waiting on it or what.
Yeah. I don't think it's here yet.
It's been a month.
Okay.
Well, they only had an approval a month ago. I don't know if you go ahead and you buy a big log cabin
right.
until you have, no, you're going to use it, right? So, I mean, I wouldn't.
Are they cutting down the lumber for it?
That's good.
So I make a motion we adopt the 1, 2, 3, 5 recommendations as presented and direct the public works director to paint appropriately. On the sign, I just think it should be no left turn ahead, okay. as opposed to putting 3rd and K, because no one's going to know what that is.
They
but if you
what
put it
is.
Right after, okay. no left turn ahead,
that's actually
people
a better
understand
thought.
That, yeah. right?
That's right. They might think 3rd and K somewhere else, actually, yeah. wherever it is. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have a motion.
Second.
And a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Pass. Okay. We're almost there, folks. Additional crosswalks at beach access points. This particular subject probably requires a little more study. The thought here is, folks, is that there's been some traffic occurrences in other towns, in our neighboring town. Actually, I think two people have been hurt or hit. Excuse me. And the thought was, how many crosswalks would we like to have in our town? Are crosswalks beneficial? Or do they serve a false sense of security? People just step out on them and think they don't have to look for vehicles. This is a tough question. We have several. We have several in the north part of town, and we have a few in the south part of town. So our discussion would be relative to probably beach access points in the south part of town, if they're required. And secondly, since that road belongs to the state and not to the town, would the state support it? I'm open to any discussion, or unless you guys want to think about it.
I think it'd be smart to see what NCDOT would allow us to do.
And then decide
if it's
worthwhile.
Yeah.
That makes sense, John?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Okay. Yes.
It doesn't say public there. Are you referring to public beach accesses or all?
Oh, yeah.
Accesses?
No, public beach access.
Okay.
Yes, Kathy.
Okay. My question, I have a couple concerns about this, okay?
Sure.
Number one, I think that the beach accesses, these crosswalks, are necessary for safety reasons. But two things. The ones in the crosswalks that they have at Carolina Beach, they have the flashing signs so mm-hmm. people can see. I myself, and some of you know, I am a handicapped person, but I walk. Okay, when I walk, I'm pushing a walker with my oxygen in it. Okay? Twice last week, I was at the crosswalk, at the crosswalk in Curie Beach at the post office, whatever the street that is.
I think that's M or N.
Okay. And I'm standing there waiting to cross the highway. And one of them was one of the town trucks. Never stopped for me. Okay? And I'm very visible with my walk, I think. But if there had been a light there for me, good, so that you get flashing lights, that's going to deter the traffic and stop for somebody in that crosswalk. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's my concern. That something needs to be done to improve the crosswalks that we have. Does that make sense?
I understand what you're saying. You do need permission from the state on those, from Department of Transportation for those particular units, and they are not inexpensive.
Aren't they the solar kind of?
They're solar, but you still have communication between the two, right? There's one on each side. You still have communication between the two, which generally means there's some type of locate discussion.
My second point is, who's going to police the fact whether people stop or not? I mean, at 7:30 in the morning, I mean, the police can't see everything. I understand. I'm well aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
But who's going to police it, and what happens if they don't stop?
If they hit a pedestrian in the crosswalk, they've got significant problems ahead of them.
Yeah.
Right. As well as the pedestrian, probably.
Yeah.
Yes, Julie.
Yeah, well, it's not funny that you're saying that, but my thoughts exactly were, as specifically for in the crosswalk at M, maybe the state would be a little bit more apt to approve that one, at least because the post office is there. Because besides what she's saying, just walking average, what happens there is all the residents come in and they slow down because they're going to turn in the mail into the post office. So people that are, going through aren't necessarily slowing down. Mm-hmm. And I have seen a lot of, drive-by going way over the speed limit, and then a lot of potential accidents of somebody trying to walk across while somebody's going right across, going just across the crosswalk, and then all of a sudden they slow down the turn. Yeah. So it's kind of a little bit, at M Street, it's a little bit of a double hazard not to have a flashing light. So I would definitely encourage at least one there, because you have two things going on with traffic slowing down and stop and turn into the post office.
Okay.
As well as the gym. And the lines are across the street, they're on the residential side, mm-hmm. and not the post office side. So people come through and then they stop. So it's a little bit.
Well, thank you for that input. We certainly have work to do in this area. Yes?
Could I? Well, I fought hard for that crosswalk and she's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Every year, I would call somebody and say, we need a crosswalk here. And I think someplace that we also need a crosswalk is at Cave, where it crosses Fort Fisher. You stand there and you have to wait for a car to come if you're coming from, let's say, to cross. You have to stand there and wait for a car to come to make the light change. The light, one car will go through. You really don't have time to get across before the light changes again. When the people sitting in the car here are like, lady, move on. But it's just, the time just isn't enough. And I just can't believe that there's not a crosswalk here.
Okay.
You could do a light change, can't you? Can't you put time for that?
I'm sorry, Julie, I can't hear you.
Can't you make the light change more? Can't you put more seconds before the light?
Well, I don't know, because I'm
Again, that's DOT. That's North Carolina DOT. So we would need to talk with them and get them very...
I would think that you could do two things there. Crosswalk flashing three things. And make the light change time.
Okay.
Sequence longer, whatever.
No idea is a bad idea. Some are expensive, and some need approval, and some can't happen. But we're going to look at this and see what we can do, what they're willing to do. And if we get to a point and we know some costs, maybe we'll ask you if you're willing to do it. Okay. Anything else? Mayor updates? I'm spent. How about commissioners? Any commissioner updates?
Not that I'm listening.
No? Mr. Whitley?
Nope.
Mr. Hegler?
So, does council want to give the police and fire departments different guidance on fireworks for July 4th or not? And do we want to
fair question.
Advertise our different guidance?
I mean, I think it'd be wise to especially send out a letter on a website that states that...
A reminder that fireworks are illegal in North Carolina?
Yeah. And
the council's directing... Now, the police department to address the issue.
I don't know
issue.
What they did last year with the citation, the issue last year, whether that will deter it this year or not. So
I have no idea, but it does seem like the, I won't say HOAs, but people in the HOAs get together, spend a lot of money, and buy fireworks, and they shoot them off. They generally shoot them off over the ocean, which is typically good for us, but they leave a mess, and we have had a few...
I mean, the guidance could be tailored. That's why I'm asking council. It could be if there's a west wind on 4th of July, or an east wind, an onshore wind on 4th of July, the police department would be directed to more rigidly enforce the legal statutes around fireworks in North Carolina. I mean, because if the wind's blowing offshore, no one really cares, and most everyone likes it, honestly. But when firework debris is landing in the dune line and in people's roofs, people are upset about it, and in their pools and in all their other properties. So the real issue is what the wind's doing.
And they're not willing to clean up their mess either.
Well, that's the other part. I think the beach, Jimmy could tell you, every July 5th, he's got two guys working to pick up all the firework debris. So there are two issues, and I think we can communicate about both of them. I'm just not sure what the communication should be.
John, did you have something you wanted to say?
Why don't we put the informational signs out there in front of Sea Watch that says no fireworks?
There, the South End does it too. It's not just Sea Watch, I don't think. I mean, yeah, it's not just there. It's the whole town.
My opinion on this is that we should put out a note. We'll put it on the website telling people that these are the North Carolina statutes and these are the statutes of the town. In the last few years, we've had dune fires. We've had whatever we've had, and that there will be, I don't know, an observance or whatever the right term would be as to fireworks that may be going off, particularly if the wind is blowing towards homes.
Right, I think.
Something simple, but here's the statute, here's what it says, here's what it means, here's what we've experienced, and we could be watching particularly if the wind is blowing towards homes.
Well, you know, I have issues with giving any indication that we approve of this.
That's right? What I'm saying.
That's why I want to talk about it.
Right.
Exactly right.
And then the other thing is, it is a law. It is state law. They're not supposed to have it in possession. So I'd hate to see one person injured or one house damaged because of somebody shooting off fireworks. It's not approved and they don't know what to do.
So now is this year Carolina Beach is doing fireworks? Is that the issue?
Yes, Carolina Beach is doing fireworks.
We
did it last year.
We don't ever do it. That's only at New Year's?
New Year's.
Okay. Sorry, I couldn't remember. I don't leave my house for 4th of July.
I would like to make one point of clarification regarding Sea Watch. That is not an HOA-sponsored event.
Right.
It's an individual person.
Puts on the t-shirts.
Has a party at his house and has friends over, and then they all go down to the beach when it gets dark. but that's not an HOA.
Well, and it's not the only place, so let's not kid ourselves. There's plenty in the South End as well.
And is it legal to increase the citation?
It will not be targeted. It will be clear.
Right. Is there a way to increase the citation for that week during 4th of July due to the large number of people in Curry Beach at that point? The citation probably isn't big enough now.
Not a state citation. It's a state citation.
It's not a town.
And there is I think I charged a guy last year with civil.
$100 though, if he's found
I believe there is a law against firing them off. There's not a law against having them. Therefore, I don't know if that's true, Mike. Because they're sold. Point of the matter is that when they spend thousands on those and you hit them with a couple $100 ticket, they're probably going to go off anyway.
That's why if it was 500 or 1,000.
Yeah, but we need to be clear on what the expectation is right. for this community to the people who are visiting this community, and that's what we'll do. We'll be clear. Pam?
I just want to, on the record, the Sea Watch Homeowners Association was made aware of this concern shortly after at the board meeting that immediately followed the 4th of July last year, and I don't think that they had much of a reaction, so... I just want to be clear that they've been notified that this is a problem.
Okay. All right. Any other commissioner items?
Well, so I'm not sure what we're doing then.
Oh, we will write a letter that kind of defines the statutes, explain to people why we are concerned because of the incidents of the past, and that we will be diligent.
Who's we?
The we is...
You, me,
our
who?
Our town.
I know, but who's writing the letter?
We'll figure that out.
No, come on.
We have a great letter writer for us.
Yeah,
you know
it's
that?
Usually...
Okay. Well, I'll be glad to help. I was just asking, right? So
I'll write the letter.
Because we
got to
get it out
next week.
We honestly got to get it out in the next week. Because someone may not spend $1,000 maybe if they think that the town's taking more seriousness.
Okay.
I mean, I think there's going to be plenty of fireworks, so it's not going to stop, but at least the town can take a position.
Here's the opening.
By Jove, we're going to write the letter anyway.
Yeah.
So, okay. Any other commissioner items? I got that one.
Thank you, sir.
No problem.
I won't ask for any more. You're doing
okay, no problem. John?
Here's the opening paragraph for fireworks. They are illegal in North Carolina.
Okay.
Firecracker. One just fell on the ground. Roman Campbell.
We can make me the bad guy.
Bottle rocket. As the emergency manager. Area of fireworks.
I wouldn't do that. This is a town thing. I'll sign it council.
That's fair.
Cool.
Make a motion. Adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Great job, sir.